So when they come in, they start off with telling me their inspiration, the date of the event. I usually do 4 to 6 weeks, depending on if I have the fabric available or not. And then if not, then we'll source different colors. I kind of line up their best color, their second color, their third color, just to make sure that if one person doesn't have that, then I can go somewhere else for a different color. And then after we do that, we sit down. As they're talking with me, I sketch on site. So as they're talking to me about everything, I'm drawing sketches, I'm checking in. And it's easy to chop the body up. Okay, what do we want the top to look like? What do we want the bottom to look like? Have you thought about the back? So just breaking up the body into different quadrants is also a good way to for them to understand how they want it to fit and for me to understand how to create it for them. And then lastly, we do the measurements at the end. And then from there, I start sourcing fabrics.
Welcome to another episode of Innovation Insights, where we dive deep into the minds shaping the future of industries through innovation, creativity, and groundbreaking research. We believe that innovation happens in all aspects of life. I am your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders. Today, we're thrilled to have with us Nakia Whitfield, a creative powerhouse and the driving force behind Nick Star Designs. Established in January of 2014, Nick Star Designs isn't just a fashion studio, it's a mission to empower women. Nakia and her team craft custom-made dresses that celebrate individuality and spirit, specializing in designs for prom, maternity, bridal, and other special occasions. Nakia lives by the motto, rock it with confidence, infusing every creation with beauty, boldness, and edginess. Today, we'll dive into how Nakia builds confidence through fashion, walks clients through the bespoke dress process, and why each piece is more than just clothing. It's a statement. We'll also explore the vital role of solid business practices, from contracts to marketing and financial management. Nakia will share insights from her experience working with interns, contributing to the DMAC fashion program, and fostering a strong community of Black professionals in Des Moines. So stay tuned as we unfold these inspiring topics with Nakia Whitfield, a true innovator who believes in the power of dressing confidently to make a statement in the world. Welcome, Nakia.
Hi.
I'm so happy to have you here.
I've been not nervous, but I'm just excited. All the anxieties and I'm happy.
Our paths crossed a little bit at Iowa State University when you were a student there. And I've just have been really admiring your journey and you building this business in the Des Moines area. It's just wonderful to see you as a Black woman building a fashion business in the Midwest. So I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Let's start off with you sharing a little bit about the story behind the creation of Nick Star Designs.
Yeah. So when I first got started, it was during my senior year at Iowa State. And I just was like, it's not that I couldn't find a job, but it's more so where I wanted to go was so specific that I felt like I had to create it for myself. And so that's where it started. So when I initially started my business, it was Nakia Marie Boutique, which is my name, and scared to jump straight into custom. So I did a lot of wholesale. And during my senior year, we got to go on the study tour to New York. And so I got my EIN number. I got all of the documentation that I needed before I went on that school trip. So in between going to all of the other fashion houses, I was also going to the garment district. I was going to all the wholesale markets. I was all over New York. So I just had to take advantage of that opportunity while I was there. And that's really the grassroots of how I got started. And then from then on, it's evolved into Nickstar Designs, which is fully custom fashion house now.
Very smart of you. Very smart.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the business and where you locate and how do you work with people on custom designs?
Yeah. So right now I'm in my second year at Mainframe Studios, which is located in downtown Des Moines. It's actually 200 plus artists. It's the largest artist ran studio in the country. And go big or go home. So that was really a nice place that I found myself to be inspired by other artists, other creatives. And so having my studio there, I get to now see people in person and not in my home like I started out doing in the beginning. I have my own private studio there and I see clients directly or virtually because I do deal with out-of-state clients as well. And then I do everything in-house. So we have from meeting in the consultations, picking out fabrics, we do sketching on demand. So during our consultations, and then we also source our fabric from outside of Iowa. Not a lot of fabric stores here, but that's all right. Shipping works both ways. So that's where our hub is for sure.
Ah, great. And so when someone comes in to meet with you, how does that process go?
So I have several social media sites, and then I also have my website. It all links back into my consultation links, which is through Square. So I tried to get something that was really universal and easy for everyone to use. So if you go on my website, I have two different services. One is a measurement service because I was also feeling a need there. A lot of people wanted to get professional measurements that were accurate. And so I have that service. And then I also have the consultation service that you just can click into. And then it automatically puts you on my calendar.
That is really smart to do a custom measurement service. Really innovative because, yeah, there's many times that people need those really smart. That's really
I know a lot of people who have clicked into that service in particular have either been models needing to update their measurements. It's been people who have had quince. I don't do any cultural dress because if it's not my culture, I don't feel like I should tap into that. So just out of respect. So they'll come for their quince measurements, or I have some people who are in African weddings and they need to send their measurements overseas. So I do that service to bridge the gap there.
Yeah, really. That's innovative. Very innovative. really smart. So how do you feel that custom clothing can empower women and having personalized clothing? Because you know, ready to wear is what we most people deal with every day, and it's really rare to have custom clothing.
I think when I tried in the beginning to do the wholesale market, as trends change so fast, sizing is not inclusive. Everyone is shaped individually to their own body type. So those are things that I was running into early on, and it was just a lot of waste. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with everything that doesn't sell? Or what am I supposed to do with things that maybe get damaged? And I've worked in retail ever since I was 16. So I know what people typically do when it comes to just throwing away or discarding unethically things. So that was where I saw custom could really come in and for me and fill those kind of spots. So I don't necessarily focus on ready to wear. What I say is that I focus on incorporating custom garments into what you already have. So whether that be, oh, I really want this dress to attend a wedding, but you also want to wear the dress to go to work. You want to wear the dress to go to other maybe cocktail events. So I kind of work within each client in I know you're coming to me for custom, but I really want to know your lifestyle and how something that you are making an investment into can fit within that.
Yeah, that's very it's a very sustainable thought process that you have there to make sure that it's not just a one-time wearable garment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say I also do samples. So I'll have sample fabrics. That way people can get the feel of what this fabric is, what this fabric does. Definitely love my textile science class at Iowa State. I use it literally every day. Especially when you're getting fabrics online, you have to really have that know-how and how to read fiber content, how to read how this fabric is supposed to work. Is it wicking? Is it compression? So a lot of that I use every day.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. Fabrics are the foundation of clothing. Textiles are important. Could you walk us through the process? So if you have a client come in for a consultation, what does that process look like?
Yeah, as I said before, they'll go ahead and book the appointment online. That comes directly to our email system. And then from there, it already sets up the date and the time. So I just look in there if they've written any notes. I have that kind of process on there too. If they're like, oh, I want to email you some inspiration images. We love inspiration images. For example, I had someone book an appointment for a suit. I don't do suits, but she sent a picture and it wasn't that at all. I like for people to send me inspiration images just to make sure we're on the same page going into the consultation. And that also helps with the different kind of fabrics that I'll show during. So I've set everything up beforehand. So when they come in, they start off with telling me their inspiration, the date of the event. I usually do 4 to 6 weeks, depending on if I have the fabric available or not. And then if not, then we'll source different colors. I kind of line up their best color, their second color, their third color, just to make sure that if one person doesn't have that, then I can go somewhere else for a different color. And then after we do that, we sit down. As they're talking with me, I sketch on site. So as they're talking to me about everything, I'm drawing sketches, I'm checking in, and it's easy to chop the body up. Okay, what do we want the top to look like? What do we want the bottom to look like? Have you thought about the back? So just breaking up the body into different quadrants is also a good way to for them to understand how they want it to fit and for me to understand how to create it for them. And then lastly, we do the measurements at the end. And then from there, I start sourcing fabrics. I start with their initial deposit. And then the next time I will see them will be when they come in for their first fitting. I typically do 2 fittings. And then the second one is the final, so I can take the garment home with them by then.
Oh, good. Good.
So that's a quick breakdown of.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And it sounds like you really helped them visualize what the garment will look like by sketching on site. That's really fabulous.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people are really visual. So trying to bring what an idea is in their head out to like to touch it is like one of the things like, okay, how are we supposed to do this? And then I show them this sketch. I call it sketching in the round. So you see how it looks on all sides. Here's the back, how we connect the front. Because some people are like, oh, I want something strapless. And then they want like a full lace back. And I'm like, we can work with something like that. But so it gets you thinking about, okay, what am I really asking for?
And how is the garment going to stay on the body?
Yes. Yes. I do have an illusion mesh. So that could help bridge the gap for something. Let's think of it all encompassing.
That makes sense. That's the fun thing with fashion is that functionality part that has to happen.
Yes. Yes. Want to make sure this is actually okay. And AI has not been helpful in that, but.
Oh, that's interesting. And how? Explain that a little bit more.
When it comes to bringing inspiration images, sometimes they will bring in AI images. And I'm like, okay, we can get something similar to that concept, but we have to remember that is something that is to be shown online. That wasn't anything to be actually worn by someone.
Mm-hmm. I had not even thought about that. Yes. Really impact. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because some of the items that I've seen AI are not feasible to actually construct the garment. So that's yes. Interesting. Wow. Wow. Oh my goodness. Your motto is rock it with confidence, which is so powerful. So how do you instill this within your clients?
I think when people think custom, they're always like, oh, I have to wait until I lose this amount of weight, or I have to wait until I have this going on with my body. And I always tell every single person, like, I meet you where you're at. You do not have to change anything about yourself because we're making the clothes to fit you. We're not, that's the difference with custom. Ready to wear, you get what you can find. But with custom, it's literally for your body. We sometimes get into, I'm not gonna say uncomfortable. I would just say insecurities come up sometimes during consultations. And so I have to make sure that I'm creating a safe space for anybody that walks into my studio. So I'm very intentional about the words that I use, about how we're going to go about getting the end result. But I still make sure I'm being very realistic. And if it's something that, I don't want this part of my stomach to show, or I don't want this part of my arms to show, we can work around anything. The great part about custom is literally, as long as you tell me what you would like, I will try and make the garment do what I can.
That's wonderful, because the custom process and taking body measurements is it's an intimate process.
Yeah.
And there does have to be trust there.
Yes. So,
yeah. So how do you embrace your motto, rock it with confidence, personally?
I think starting out my business in college, I was college age, college size. And since growing my business, my body has changed so much. I am a mother of two. I am a wife. I am probably not as active as I was before, but I'm active in different ways. So it's just being intentional in me speaking life into myself, because it's hard to give from an empty cup. So I do have to fill my own self up and do things that I like to do, having fun. I love fashion. I love fashion history. I love fabrics. I love just the whole encompassing of fashion, the good, the bad, everything in between. So I just try to keep my hand on the pulse of fashion, but also know who I am in real life. And knowing that sense of self has to be strong for me to go ahead and establish what I would like to do in my business. And I have a daughter, so I have to also be cognizant of how I feel about myself around her, because I don't want her to catch any strays from how I feel about myself. So mental health is really important for me. And then also giving that to my clients and everybody that's around me. So I just try and stay really positive.
That's great. You're what a great role model you are to your daughter and to your clients, and recognizing the importance of confidence.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the fashion industry does not empower. So
yes.
Thank
you. Yes. Empowered. That's a great, great term you use.
Yeah. And as a business owner, you and I have discussed a little bit business practices and, how important that is. And what are some business practices that you have used to help sustain and grow your business? And also like contracts and agreements, because sometimes when especially students are thinking about going into the fashion business or starting their own line, those are not the things that are at the forefront of the thought process.
So I have had to learn a lot. I loved fashion, but as it pertains to business, I did not know how important the business side would become until later on. So when I first started, I was not using contracts. I was not really looking at how financials and things were supposed to line up. I didn't really know how much things would cost, how to price. That's also very important when it comes to custom, because you are literally making every single thing from paper to its final 3D form. I was very overwhelmed. I made a lot of mistakes, but I will say I couldn't have learned if I didn't make those mistakes. And I tried to dissect every single client or every single consultation. Okay, did I do that right? Should I change this up? Now, from making all those mistakes, hopefully I don't have very big ones to make. I'm fine with little ones. But I have my contracts that are posted online. I have an FAQ that's set up, because custom, for whatever reason, in my mind, I thought everybody knew what custom was, but a lot of people do not know. I still get asked, oh, do you make your fabric? I'm like, absolutely not. I could get it custom made, but I won't be doing it. But it's so just having those expectations set out in the contract is extremely important. It holds me to my responsibilities and what I'm supposed to be accountable for. It also holds other clients, their responsibilities and what they are supposed to be accountable for. And then we sign off on everything together. And with that, I haven't had any issues, but if someone does ask a question that I think should be included, I'll just change it in the contract, make sure that those are updated. As far as financials, nobody likes talking about financials, including me. But I had to really be realistic in my pricing. So how much does it cost for me to make this item? And then what is the markup on it that I can make sure that I'm paying my rent, that I can make sure that I am paying myself? That if I have to employ someone else to do something, that I can pay them. I had to make sure that I included all of those things within. I have a formula that I use. I just plug in numbers into that formula that I set out. And it also takes the emotion out of pricing, because I think a lot of creatives in any field might get a little weary about, oh, is this too much or is it not enough? But if you know exactly where your money is going, it makes it very easy to just spit out a price and be like, that's how much it is. And if I do need to make adjustments, I know exactly where I can make those adjustments at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And how do you prepare clients to understand? Because sometimes there's the perception that, oh, if I have something made by someone, it's going to be cheaper than if I go to the store and buy it.
Yes. So it will never be cheaper. It just won't. I think there was a conversation that I have had with some clients, but I also have paid consultations. So that kind of is the first step into, okay, this is a different kind of process. I have a base price, so I don't do anything that is under, we'll say, like $350. That's the base. And when I say that, that is not even a dress. In my mind, I have to say, okay, what is my base price for this kind of dress? Going into the consultation, I already let everyone know, okay, the consultation fee will go toward the cost of the dress if you decide to come on. But if you don't decide to come on, that is still a fee from, you still get measurements, you'll still get a design concept, you still get mm-hmm. those things. Mm-hmm. But if you decide, oh, okay, this is a little bit out of my budget, then that's perfectly fine. The other part of that is, during there is some, most of the time there is conversation before they book the consultation. I do have a free, I forgot what I call it, but I have a free inquiry form on my site. So people can plug in all of their information about what they're thinking about before they enter in the consultation, which is a paid consultation, and then before they enter into the custom. So that was another kind of gap that I found. And I didn't want anybody to pay for a consultation if that wasn't their expectation of the price. So for dresses that I typically make, they start at about $1,500. A lot of the gowns that I have, we are hand placing crystals. We are hand placing or hand sewing literally everything. We don't use glue, only if it makes sense. But for the most part, it's 99% hand sewing. And so that takes time. I have one of my prom dresses that I did. Definitely did not press it, but I've learned that it was, the dress itself was maybe like 20 pounds. It was a full corset on the inside. It was custom, literally everything. I had got her appliques, which are embroidered in crystals. I got those custom made. It was a whole process. And I loved it. The dress was gorgeous afterwards, but I definitely had to make sure that cost and price make sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really smart of you to have a paid consultation, because that definitely sets a different expectation for your clientele to know that, okay, yeah. And custom, it is more, and it should be, it should cost more, because you're tailoring this to someone's body and to their desires and wants and needs. So how do you market? Because I know that you're on social media and I've seen some fashion shows and things. Yeah. How have you approached marketing?
Marketing has been very interesting for custom. I like doing fashion shows, but those take so much time. They take a lot of effort to put on. So those aren't the most sustainable ways to market, but it is a good way to do it. Typically, when people come to a fashion show, they want to see things. So they're not really trying to engage too much. They don't really buy during fashion shows. But marketing has definitely been one of the points that I need to get better at. Social media, for sure. I need to do more in person. I think I need to just be where my target market is at. I know who my target market is. I just need to work on making sure that I'm getting out of the house and out of the studio and meeting and mixing and mingling. Definitely virtual, like online marketing. And then I love TikTok. I love TikTok and Instagram. It's very visual, so it's just very stimulating for me to easily engage with people and share things like that. A lot of my clients come from Facebook, which is so crazy.
And, interesting. Yeah, exactly. Luckily, since you said you do prom too, so is it the mothers that are finding? Okay, so high schoolers are all actually on Facebook.
They are on Facebook.
Okay, because you always hear that Facebook is for old people.
I know. And the past like few prom clients that I have from the past 2 years have seen me on Facebook. And I had that on my form. Oh, how did you hear about us? That helps me know where I should continue to market and where I should probably not do it.
Yeah. No, that's smart.
And Google is also another definitely, I don't care what business you are, you have to have some presence on Google, because Google links into everything. It links into Facebook. It links into YouTube is also another one. That's my next step. But YouTube takes time.
It does. Oh, it does. Interesting. Yeah, I'm really curious about the high schoolers on Facebook. Okay.
It's crazy. I actually had someone reach out today on Facebook before I came on. So.
Okay. Wow.
So Facebook.
Yeah.
It's not dead.
My dad thinks that's good to know. That's good to know. But do you have any tips for upcoming designers?
Oh, yes. I would say sketch and create as much as you can. That was something that I fell short of because you get so locked into the business side that, and I do everything. So I wear all of the hats. I am the social media manager. I am the content queen. I am also head designer. I am the lead seamstress. I wear all of the hats. So it's interesting, but it's fun for me to wear multiple hats. If I get bored in one area, I know I can hop over in another area. But I would say balance is also another thing. Get you a schedule. Have your week planned out. So Sundays and Mondays, I'm closed off to everything so I can check my email, so I can see what's coming up for the next month or week or however it is. And then my sewing days are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then I leave my Fridays open. Saturdays, I don't work unless someone has a consultation that they couldn't get to during the week. And then I also have to mix in family time through there. So just trying to be as balanced as I can. And it helps if I can see my week laid out and then I can plug in stuff there. And I know where I can be more flexible or where it's just, oh, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So definitely time management. I can't say that enough. I even teach my interns. I know they probably hate that I make them rush their stuff, but I'm like, when you work for yourself, it's not, oh, I have to hand this into a teacher or she'll let me, I get an extension. You don't get that. People are putting their hard-earned money into trusting you to get something done in the time that you need to get it done. So you really have to work on your time management skills. That's probably number one that I would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's such good advice for people across whatever area you're in. And I love that you mentioned planning out your week and your month and mm-hmm. having time dedicated to certain tasks that you need to get done. There used to be this concept of, oh, I can multitask and I can do multiple things at one time. I think we've proven that does not work.
It does not. And I was one of those people. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it. It's okay. And I am crying at the end of the week because I have something to do the next day or I missed a deadline. And I'm just like, oh, okay, let me sit down or let me block out time where I literally am not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Just to collect my thoughts.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, and another area that you've been very active in is community and mentorship. And you mentioned interns. How many interns do you have working with you typically, and how does someone become an intern with you?
So in the past, I think I've had, like, let me count real quick. I've had 5 interns from Iowa State over the years. And then I just recently had 2 from DMAC.
Oh, great.
And how they have reached out to me has just been either they've seen me in person during events like fashion shows or just being out in the world. And I just have them send me over an email. And then I do interviews. I like to do the interviews because I work very specifically and I need someone who is also independent and that I can trust. So I have a setup with Iowa State students. They're my favorite. I might be biased though, but they come in with the skill sets that I can put them straight into my industrial machine. I can put them straight with pattern making. They have that whole understanding of garment construction, which is great. And they typically like to hear the business side of things. So the exchange with most of my interns that I've had is there's a 2-part internship. So for the first part, you get to see how Nixar Designs develops everything. And then the second part, if they choose, I help them develop their own brands typically people who want to come into fashion have the idea of either they want to work for someone or they want to develop themselves. So that's the option that I give them. Everybody so far has taken both options. And so it's nice. I get to see them grow and build themselves up. Entrepreneurship is hard. So that's a part that I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't get that mentorship in. So I try and start them out in while they're in college. That way, when they're out, they have those skills to develop to go on.
Wow, that's really gracious of you. I love that two-part internship and helping them set up their own brand. It's, oh, so great. Well, yeah. Now, you're also on the Fashion Program Advisory Board for DMAC. Mm-hmm. And why has that been important to you? And what has your role been there?
Since being in Des Moines, there's a lot of fashion people here, and they don't really seem to have, they don't have another school other than in Ames. But they're like, oh, I want to stay in Des Moines. So then I went to a few of their fashion shows, and I got connected with Ann Gadbury, who is over the fashion program at DMAC. And she graciously invited me to be on the board. So one of the things that I really like is to develop the students while they're in school. Not everyone wants to do a four-year degree. And I might be biased, but I loved my degree at Iowa State, but not everybody can have that opportunity. And I feel like they should still have those skills that they need to develop, because whether you're getting an associate's, you still have to have that some sewing background if that's something that you want to do in design. So just helping them develop their fashion program and kind of what industry people are looking for, at least on the most basic level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I help them with. And then I judge their student-run fashion show too.
Oh, good. Oh, well, they're so lucky to have you involved with their program. And I agree with you. I'm a community college graduate. My first degree was from a community college, and it's really important education. And yeah, thank you for supporting their program. That's really good.
And if they want to go to a four-year, I always tell them, like, I know you want to do all the fashion stuff, but sometimes those don't transfer over. So I was like, you need to work on your gen eds. You need to work on those things that are transferable before you tap into the, if you want to do some elective stuff, like, that's cool. But just know that when you're transferring in, a lot of those fashion credits don't transfer over.
They may not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. You're part of a group of Black professionals in the Des Moines area. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a really strong community. Could you speak to that a bit?
Yeah. So two years ago, I had applied to the Goldman Sachs 1 Million Black Women in Business program. I was definitely not confident when I applied, because I'm like, I'm in Iowa, they're in New York, I don't know if they're going to see me. So I had a lot of, like, intrusive thoughts for that. And I just applied, and I was just like, I'm just going to put all of my ideas into this application and pray for the best. And they ended up accepting my application. I was one of, I think they had 150 of us. So it wasn't a lot. And this is nationwide. So that was a huge hurdle that I got over. And then since being involved in that program last year, I had to really dissect my business from its infancy all the way up into wanting to scale it. And so I learned so much from that program. It was a 10-week program, and they flew us out. They treated us like queens. It was the best experience ever. Asahi, who is over the program, or pretty much her exact title, I would say, she is the global head of the corporate engagement there. And she also is the president over the Goldman Sachs Foundation, and then their other foundation of Goldman Sachs Gives. So she was an integral part in wanting to have Black women be the forefront and their goal of having or supporting 1 million Black women who are in business. So that was enough to really make you want to apply and be a part of this huge goal that they had. And so you go through a lot of business development through 1863 Ventures. Melissa Bradley is the founder of that business education part that was a part of it. And we just learned a lot. You got a business mentor and you have a lot of sense of community. We had a lot of smaller groups that we met with weekly, multiple days. It was a very intensive program for sure.
So did you fly to New York for a week?
Yeah. So you flew to New York for 3 days and that was the orientation. And then you did everything else virtual. It was very intense. They broke down everything from your financials. They broke down and you do the work. They give you a template to fill in and you turn in your work each week. And then my business mentor, her name was Michelle Talbert. I absolutely loved her. We still talk to this day. And she was just really great in helping me develop my idea of what I wanted my business to be. And she was very much so like on me. Like they are not letting you slide. They're like, no, they speak so much life into you. They give you a lot of resources. You're in rooms with people that you probably would never be in if you weren't in this program. We met the CEO of Goldman Sachs. Like, that was crazy.
Well, that's cool.
And you do graduate from the program. So I did graduate from the program, which was great. They fly you back out to New York for the graduation. And then they keep up with you. I was in the third cohort. So they will reach back every month. You give them some updates and things like that. So, excuse me, it was never a point of where I felt like I wasn't heard. It was never a point that I felt that like other people wouldn't help me. If they couldn't help me, they actually would give my information to someone else that can help me. And the crazy part about it is they were so intentional about literally every single thing that they did. So when they said they wanted to support Black women, they would reach back to past graduates who had businesses so they can come in and do panels. Some of them had actual products that they would implement. We got goodie bags that was filled with products from other Black women business owners. It was great. It was really great.
How do you feel like participating in that has impacted your business?
I think it helped with the community portion. So for me, it helped grow my message of Rocket with Confidence into a bigger message. And then they do have a section of where they're like, okay, how are you at your local level participating with your business? Are you showing up for the community? Are you showing up for other Black women in business who are not in the program, but that you can give resources to? So since we were small and mighty in Iowa, a lot of us shared the links to get involved and apply. So I think at this point we have, I think it's six of us that are actually in the Des Moines area now.
That's good.
And we all meet quarterly to get each other a boost, help each other out with pitch competitions or funding, or it's a lot of like little things that we didn't know we had access to, but coming together, we're like, oh, okay, we absolutely have it.
That's great.
I was like, my doorbell's going to ring. It's like seeing them walk and I'm like, yes.
I can edit that out.
We are the neighborhood kid home. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That means that you have the fun place, the fun, supportive, love place. That's good.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so what are some of your future aspirations or goals for Dickstar Designs?
I think the biggest one, since we were talking about community, I used to do a prom dress giveaway with a nonprofit, but I want to bring it in-house and make it a little bit different. I would like to do like an adopt a school initiative. And then I haven't really thought it out yet, but I would love to adopt a school and then have some sort of either essay or something that students can write into. And then we choose like a free prom getaway or something, like whether it's a dress, it's the makeup, it's services like that, hair. And then I would just get other people in the community. So other hairdressers, makeup artists, and we just adopt a prom girl or boy and make it to where they can have this service for free. I think prom is like one of the special things that you do. It's for me, I always tell people, for me, 17 and 18 year olds, prom is their first step into formal wear. So they want to go, want to be a little bit more put together. There's a lot of things that start there. And I feel like it should be special. And I'm from Chicago. So prom in Chicago is definitely different than prom in Iowa.
But how's
prom in Chicago is like a wedding. We have, you rent cars, you have family over, you have food laid out, people bring gifts, or it's like a huge event. It is, and it's a lot of time that goes into planning those. Typically, they're four kids, they're on track to graduate, they're going to college. It's definitely a very good, huge community thing. I remember going to prom and we had the whole block was outside for me going to prom. And it was just really fun. So I just think we should bring a little bit of that here.
That sounds great. That sounds, what a great initiative. Okay. I also think I saw something on social media about bridal. Yeah. Are you moving into the bridal market?
Yes, brides have scared me for so long.
I don't blame you.
Yes, I've been a bride. I know how stressful it is. It is definitely, I feel like I should have been there, but I think I needed to build myself up first. And so now I'm ready to step in it, like full blown, I'm ready for bridal. I have a lot of ideas of what I feel the Nick Star bride is. But she's not your everyday bride. She's something that you want to have. You want to wear this dress for your day, but you also want to maybe wear it for your anniversary. Maybe you want to wear it on a date night. So I really want to incorporate bridal wear into the initiative, like I mentioned earlier, just into your everyday, maybe not your everyday wardrobe. We can play with some things. I recently did a prom dress and it was, she had a full dress underneath, cocktail length dress right above the knee. But then we put a full ballroom skirt over top of it that she can wear multiple ways. I'm like, sometimes you need a shorter dress, but you don't really need the ball gown all the time. But it would be nice to maybe mix the ball gown bottom with maybe a button up. And you're going out on a fancy dinner or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
And I've had my wedding dress in my basement for the longest and I didn't make it. But I'm just like, I would have loved to wear this again.
Yeah.
All the money you spend on the dress, like I could have made this like a convertible wedding dress. Mm-hmm. So that is what Nick Star Bridal will be bringing.
I love it. And, you know, it makes sense for you. It sounds like you have your business processes and practices really down and well formulated. And so the move into bridal, it seems like a nice progression there.
Yes. I need to make sure I had all my ducks in the row before I started to take on brides.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it is a whole different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's the bride, it's the family, it's the mom.
Yes.
Mom, aunts.
And I've done stuff before, but it wasn't like wedding dresses. And mother the bride, mother the groom, those options are never the most pretty. So doing those, I had one mother the bride dress that she wanted a brown dress. And she was like, I just can't find it. The colors were like different shades of brown and nude. Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, like you're probably not going to find that in ready to wear. No. So we ended up creating something custom, but she wanted a very particular kind of brown. And being a Black woman, you want to have a brown that's not going to make your color wash out. You need a brown that's going to be rich for some skin tones, red undertones, green undertones. So it was very nice to have that option for her. And I'm like, we can get different shades of brown, but that's another part of my business that I just truly love is we do skin tone matching for mesh and for colors. It's important because I don't know how many times we'll put on something and the mesh is not meshing.
So true. So thank you for providing options.
Yes. Absolutely.
The last question that I ask every guest is, how do you define innovation?
I would say innovation for me has been maybe taking what others have done and elevating it or making it my own. I don't think any idea is original. And I think it's important to respect the integrity of the idea, but also take what you need from it and then add something to it.
Sounds great. Yeah, that makes absolute sense. Thank you for joining us today, Nakia. It's just been fabulous to have your insights and hear about your business and your motto of rock it with confidence and how you infuse that into a business practice and also your own personal life. So we'll ask our guests to make sure that you follow Nick Star Designs on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, even. Watch for her designs. And if you need some custom designs, she also said she works with out-of-state customers. So please contact her. We'll make sure that all of her contact information is available with the episodes and the clips that we put out there. So please stay tuned to the Innovation Insights podcast for more inspiring stories and be sure to follow us on our social media platforms. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and watch for updates for future episodes. In the meantime, keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.